The last time I introduced Gail Storm, I believe I referred to her as a movie newcomer, a youngster who had won a Gateway to Hollywood contest and was showing great promise. But much film has run through the cameras since that time, and now she's a veteran, and I'm sure that many of you remember her for fine performances in many excellent pictures. We haven't seen her for some time now, so it's a real pleasure to welcome back to our radio theater, Miss Gail Storm.
Thank you very much, Les. Let's see, the last time I saw you, you were riding a horse and leading a parade.
Ah, that's right. It was the Sunland Tohunga March of Dimes parade, and may I thank you again for helping to make the parade such a success.
I was glad you invited me, Les. Incidentally, you're quite a booster for Sunland and Tohunga.
That I am, Gail. It's a wonderful place to live. And now, tell us, what have you been doing lately besides riding in parades?
Well, I've made several pictures, a couple of personal appearance tours, several radio shows.
Oh, that reminds me. It's about time for you to do another one. Could we talk for a moment after the play?
Of course.
I'll meet you here after the final curtain. Thank you, Gail Storm.
And now, here is our announcer. Curtain is up, and here is the play.
Elaine Wainwright, School of Modeling. Dagmar Davies speaking.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Kirby. We have your appointment with Miss Wainwright set for 3:00.
No, I'm sorry, but Miss Wainwright insists on interviewing all applicants personally.
Yes, a complete personality diagnosis.
That's right. 3:00. You're welcome.
Another dame wants to be made over,
Oh, that's right, Jeff. She probably weighs 180 and looks like the bride of Frankenstein, but she thinks Miss Wainwright can make her into a cover girl.
Probably has her confused with Houdini.
Go away, Jeff. I have work to do.
Well, now, don't throw any bouquets at yourself. I came out here to sharpen a pencil, not to feast my eyes on you, Dagmar the Beautiful. Good-looking dames are a dime a dozen around here.
Oh, darn.
What's the matter? Spell glamour with a small G?
No, I broke my fingernail. Jeff, will you watch the front desk for a minute like a dear sweet angel?
What do you think I am around here, a press agent or an office boy?
Funny, I heard Miss Wainwright ask the same question just yesterday.
Yeah.
Back in a minute, my love.
Hey, where'd you come from? Were you sitting there all this time?
Yes, I guess no one noticed.
Well, I'm sorry, I guess Dagmar didn't see you either.
Oh, that's all right, no one ever notices me. That's why I came here. I want my personality changed.
But this is a school of modeling.
I know. And models are always so sure of themselves, and I want to be sure of myself. And I heard Miss Wainwright teaches poise and personality, and I thought...
Take it easy, Mousy. You don't have to explain to me. Now, if you want to take one of Miss Wainwright's courses, just fill in this little card, and we'll set up an interview with Miss Wainwright as soon as possible. Let me look in the appointment book. Let's see. How's Thursday at 3?
Couldn't I see her sooner? I've waited so long for this, and now I have a little money, and I did want to start right away.
Well, I'll try to use my influence. Name?
Tina Berger.
Tina Berger. Address?
3218 Magnolia.
Age?
24.
And all of a sudden, you're in a hurry to get glamour.
What?
Never mind. Occupation?
Actress. I hope.
Listen, Tina, it's none of my business. As a matter of fact, I'm paid to glorify this glamour factory. Why in the world do you want to change? So you're not pretty, so boys don't whistle. So what? Beautiful dolls are a dime a dozen around this town. And what does their beauty get them? Trouble, headaches. Stay like you are. The big game hunters don't go out gunning for mice.
I know what you mean, and I know you're trying to be kind, but I'm tired of being a mouse. I want men to whistle, and I want to act. I want to be something in this town. I want all of Hollywood to know I'm alive. Please let me have an appointment with Miss Wainwright.
Okay. I was just trying to be a big brother. How's 5:30 this afternoon?
Fine. Thank you very much. And I'll bet you change your tune when I'm glamorous.
Now, Miss Berger, try to reassemble the small pieces of the wooden block. The average time is 20 seconds. See how close you can hit.
All right, Miss Wainwright. I'm done.
5 seconds. That's remarkable.
Then I've passed all the tests? You can make my personality into that of an actress, a glamorous actress?
I'm afraid you've misunderstood the test, Miss Berger. They weren't tests of your ability or your nimbleness or your intelligence, not in the ordinary sense. They were aptitude tests, and they've revealed that you'd make a wonderful mechanic, a laboratory technician, or, a mathematician or a chemist.
How about a home economics teacher?
Perfect, my dear. You'd be just right for a job like that.
Yes, that's what they say at the school where I've taught for 2.5 years. But I don't want to be a teacher or a technician or a chemist, Miss Wainwright. I want to be an actress.
Miss Berger, Tina, let's be honest with each other. I can help you dress more attractively, have more poise and self-assurance, hold conversations more easily, make your personality a more positive one. But I have a certain amount of integrity, and I refuse to take your money under false pretenses. I can't make an actress out of you.
Why not?
Well, you see, we teach modeling here primarily, and you're too short to be a model. And, we don't really teach acting here.
Well, I know all that. I figured on a drama course after I finished here. Aunt Kate left me $2,000. That should be enough.
Look, Tina, why don't you invest your money in a dress shop? Or maybe take a long cruise where you might meet a nice guy. We can bring out a latent personality, but we can't manufacture one. You just haven't got the inner fire to become an actress.
Well, maybe not. But Aunt Kate's money isn't going to be invested in a dress shop or spent on a cruise so that I can meet a nice guy. I've been a quiet little nobody all my life. I worked my way through domestic science school. I've taught dull subjects to duller students since the week after I graduated. I saved up a little money for a drama course once, and then I spent it on Mother's funeral. You don't know what it's like to sit home and read about life. I think I've read every movie magazine that was ever published, and I used to see every play that ever came to town from the cheapest seat in the balcony. Well, I made up my mind that I was going to be an actress, and you aren't going to talk me out of it. If you won't take me on as a student, someone else will. I'm going to have my personality made over or die in the attempt. So there.
You know something? I could be wrong about that inner fire. Now, just walk across that platform there. Try to imagine that this is a big style show, that you're wearing a very glamorous gown and that all eyes are upon you.
I'd die if there were really people watching me.
Nonsense. We haven't lost a model yet. Now, just walk across.
Don't I put a stack of books on my head?
Not unless you're practicing to be a librarian.
But in all the pictures,
just
always...
hold your head naturally and throw your shoulders back. Your bad posture is a result of your feeling of inferiority. And feeling sorry for yourself is a luxury you can't afford at this point, Tina.
I thought I showed you how to wear makeup yesterday, Tina. Why so pale this morning?
Well, I just came straight here from my room, Dagmar, and I didn't think...
You're taking a course in glamour, Tina, and every man you pass on the street is a preliminary test. Did anyone turn around to look at you this morning?
Well, no, of course not, but I thought I could sort of just look natural in the morning.
Natural, but not raw. Now, get out that makeup kit. Start the color up quite high. That heightens the cheek line and gives you a more interesting-looking face.
Well, that's what I need, goodness knows.
Still a little too heavy on your heels, Tina. Walk more on the balls of your feet. That's better. You're still leaning back too far. And watch your elbows. You're not a duck.
Oh, Miss Wainwright, I'm afraid it's no use. I can't even learn how to walk.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be so hard on you, Tina. As a matter of fact, I think you're doing marvelously. Why, in the few weeks you've been here, you've become a completely different person. You're attractive, Tina. Very attractive.
You don't really mean that.
Of course I do. I wouldn't say so if I didn't.
Well, I know the way to find out if you're telling me the truth or not. I know a real test, and I'm going to make it. Dagmar?
Yes, Tina. Can I do something for you?
Is that man around, the press agent?
Jeff? Oh, he's in his office, first door on the left.
Could I just walk right in?
Well, sure, he's not so much.
Oh, yes, he is. He's very handsome and very nice. And he's a very important test.
A test? What in the devil is... Well, good luck. Hope you get a gold star.
Come in.
Hello?
How do you do? Won't you have a seat?
Thank you.
Now, what can I do for... Well, for goodness sakes, it's Tina Berger, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, how'd they recognize you? Say the school's been doing all right for you.
You mean I'm attractive?
Sure you are. You're very smart looking.
Would you turn around and look at me if you passed me on the street?
Well, don't take me as a criterion. With me, good looking dames are a dime a dozen.
You mean you wouldn't whistle at me?
Well, look, Tina, I don't know what you're getting at, but whatever it is, forget it. You look 100% better than when you came in here, and that should make you very happy. Now, if you learn acting, you should stand a chance of getting a little part in some picture.
The way you put it, it sounds almost worse than nothing. Isn't there some way I can, well, be discovered or something, make the grade overnight? That's what I want.
Hmm. Well, that's a tall order. There's a chance, Tina. A wee, tiny little chance. I can't tell you whether it'll work or not, but I do know that it'll take the rest of your money, any pride that you've got left, and much more drastic action than Miss Wainwright advises. But if you want to take the chance, I'll help you.
I do want to take it, Jeff.
Okay, you ask for it. Throw your good sense out the window and take Uncle Jeff's hand, and if we both come through this alive, you may be a star before the month's over.
We'll return in just a moment with Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of A Dime a Dozen, starring Miss Gail Storm.
How do you do? May I help you?
You can try. We want a few gowns, you know, off the shoulders, sort of plunging necklines, and maybe, you know what I mean.
What exactly? This way, please.
But, Jeff, I don't think I want
this way, please.
I'll have our model show you some of our more daring creations in just a moment. Please have a seat.
Thanks.
Jeff, stop her. I don't want any daring creations.
Why not? You have a cute figure.
Well, it isn't that. It's just that I'd feel so silly. I can picture Aunt Kate. She's the one who left me the money, taking one look at me in a creation and saying, Tina Burger?
Oh, there's another thing. Your name. It's about as glamorous as a plush footstool. Tina Burger. Tina Burger. I've got it. Tony Borgia. Tony with an I, of course.
Tony Borgia? It sounds terrible.
It's supposed to sound terrible. Terrible and compelling. Tony, full of pixie charm and allure. Borgia, cruel. Cruel with the fickle disdain of a gorgeous red-headed woman.
Redheaded?
Well, maybe not red exactly. Maybe more of a gleaming auburn.
But I haven't got the personality to go with red hair.
You will, baby. Yes, I think auburn will be perfect. And one of those close-cropped feather cuts.
Oh, Jeff.
So sorry to have kept you waiting. Now then, the first model wears a shimmering aqua satin dinner dress. New and très décolleté.
Oh, I couldn't wear that, Jeff. It's indecent.
Well, there's as much material there as there is in a bathing suit. You've worn a bathing suit at some time in your life, haven't you?
Well, yes, of course, at the beach, but everyone had one on there.
The dresses, monsieur.
That's the point, Tina. At the beach, no one thinks anything about it if you don't have too many clothes on. But when you walk into the lobby of the Beverly Mansion Hotel in one of these man traps, every male in the place will turn around, or I don't know my hotel lobbies.
The dresses, monsieur.
We'll take those two. Now let's see something for formal wear and keep them interesting.
But, Jeff, suppose men in the lobby do turn around and look at the dresses, at me. What good will that do me?
Plenty, if you listen to Uncle Jeff. It's a matter of timing. Gary Stewart lives at the Beverly Mansions, and he leaves there to have dinner at Mama's every night at 7 p.m. on the button. That's the time when you make your entrance and register there.
Okay, so Gary Stewart's a big movie star.
Practically the only eligible one in Hollywood.
So he looks at me. Maybe he's even attracted to me. How does that land me a job in the movies?
Tina, I'm going to have to teach you how to be a woman. Never mind the whistle, Tina. Just walk right up to that desk like I told you. And remember, when you see Gary Stewart, make with the fluttering eyelashes and that half-smile over your shoulder.
But this dress still worries me, Jeff. No top and no middle and very little bottom.
You didn't have to pay Jacques Pernet prices for a Mother Hubbard. It's 7. Now go on up to that desk and give Stewart everything you've got.
Yes, Coach. But you ought to have a substitute warming up.
That's right, clerk. I just want to tell you that I'd be at my mother's if any messages. Is there something wrong with your eyes, ma'am? Got something in one of them?
You don't remember me?
Well, you look kind of familiar, but I can't rightly say
that. Tina Burger from Elkhorn.
Why, so with you. Well, you've changed. And how? What do you know, man? Burger's little girl. Say, you know Mother'd love to see you, Tina. How about coming with me to her house for dinner?
I'd love to, Gary, just as soon as I've checked in. But could you do me a favor? When we walk out of the hotel, could you sort of look at me as though I weren't just a little girl from your hometown? Could you maybe look down a little, well, adoringly?
It'd be a pleasure, ma'am.
I still don't know how you did it, Tina. I know my instructions to you were good, but... Well, you batted your eyes at him twice and then walked out of the hotel on his arm. You aren't that attractive, even with the alteration job.
Oh, no.
No. And besides, dames are a dime a dozen with a guy like Gary Stewart. They swoop down on him like locusts.
Well, this little locust had an expert teacher. I guess you taught me more than you imagined. And Gary didn't find me a dime a dozen at all. He thought I was very unusual. I have another date with him tonight.
Well, where'd he take you? His mother's?
As a matter of fact, we had dinner at the Trocadero.
The Troc's closed.
Oh, well, then it must have been one of the other nightclubs. We went to so many before the evening was over. It's hard to remember the names of them all.
Okay, so you had a big, gay, wonderful evening. The important thing is, did he promise you a part in his new picture?
Well, he couldn't. You see, I'm a glamour girl, and he's doing one of those epic westerns. The picture doesn't call for my type at all. I'm too exotic.
Then why are you wasting your time with him?
I don't consider it wasted. He's very attractive, and he likes me.
Look, Toots, I'm not wasting my time building you up for a big romance. I'm grooming you for a movie job. And if Stewart's doing a Western and you aren't right for it, that lets him out. We'll have to find a different approach. You do what I tell you.
Oh, I have my next move all figured out, and I really think you've done about as much for me as you can, Jeff. After all, press agents are a dime a dozen.
Oh, yeah? A lanky ham with a phony drawl takes you to dinner, and all of a sudden you're at a big brain. And what wonderful plan have you dreamed up?
That, my dear friend, you may read all about in your local paper.
Well, Jeff, have you seen the morning papers?
Yeah.
Sounds like one of your brainstorms. Having that sweet girl dressed in an abbreviated cowgirl outfit ride into the hotel lobby on a horse. What could you have been thinking of?
You do me too much credit, Miss Wainwright. It so happens that last night's little drama was all Miss Tony Borgia's own idea.
Tony Borgia? Oh, you make me a little ill, Jeff. She was all right as Tina Berger, as far as I was concerned. And she was looking mighty attractive until you had her hair dyed red and those phony eyelashes put on, and it... Oh, why do I bother talking to you?
Yeah, that was pretty cute. Lassoing the clerk. How'd she ever dream that up? Well, she's certainly getting publicity.
Notoriety, you mean.
Well, I guess she had the right ideas, as long as she wanted that job in the Western. But you don't suppose she's fallen for Gary Stewart, do you, Helene?
If she has, that wild stunt must have killed her chances with him. He's very conservative. He'll probably never look at her again.
You're not so sharp this morning, Helene. If you'd glanced at the trade papers, you'd have discovered that Monmouth just signed Miss Borgia for the lead in Stewart's new picture. She starts work today.
Hi, Tina.
Oh,
Tony. I'm sorry I haven't had much time to show you around the lot these last couple of days, but I guess just being in the movies is enough to make you happy.
Gary, I want you to know I appreciate what you've done for me, but...
Oh, shucks, Tina. I've done the same for anybody from back home.
And any other girl would be tickled pink to be even on a movie set, I guess.
Any other girl? Don't you like it here? Don't you find it really thrilling?
Thrilling? Sitting here all day with nothing to do, watching them shoot pictures of you coming through the same doorway 20 times, getting into this old-fashioned hoop skirt every morning at 8 and sitting around in it until they decide, we won't reach your scene this afternoon, Miss Borgia, you may go home. Thrilling.
You know, Tina, I could have told you all this before we went to the trouble of staging that little lobby rodeo, but I figured you knew what you were getting into. This is the glamorous movie profession.
Well, I guess you get used to it. And maybe it is exciting when you're actually in a scene, but I haven't been in even one teeny little scene yet.
Well, that's the life, Tina. If you're not happy with it, well, I tried to do you a favor for old time's sake, but since you haven't been in any scenes yet, I figure they could get another girl. Life isn't worthwhile if you're not happy. But first, you've got to know what you want out of life.
I think I know now. Thanks a million for everything, but I think maybe you'd better get another girl while I go after what I want out of life. I'll always be one of your fans, Gary.
Tina, what are you doing here? Why aren't you at the studio? I thought
I quit, Jeff.
You did what? And hey, what happened to the red hair and the clothes I picked out?
I had my hair dyed back to its natural color, and I gave the clothes to a little 3-year-old girl I met. They fit perfectly.
But what's the idea? Why, you're right back where you started.
Oh, no, I'm not, Jeff. When I first came here, I was a scared little mouse who was afraid to go after what she wanted. Now I'm not scared. And at last, I know what I want out of life.
Oh, you do. Well, I must say that you...
Stand up, Jeff.
Hmm?
Stand up.
Well, okay. You needn't get mad about it.
Now come here. Close to me.
All right, but what in the world are you...
Now put your arms around me.
What?
I said put your arms around
me. Okay, okay. Let go my tie. Do you want to choke me?
Oh, be more cooperative. Oh, that's better.
But I...
Didn't you like kissing me?
Yes. Yes, I did.
You're what I want out of life, Jeff, and I'm what you want.
I like kissing you, but I'm not sure.
Kiss me again if you're not sure.
Oh, okay, okay. You don't have to maul me. You're right, Tina. You are what I want. But how'd you know it? I didn't even know it myself.
You took a chance of losing your job just to help me, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you got mad when I made a dinner date with Gary Stewart.
Well, both sure I did.
And when you thought it was a romance. Oh, Jeff, you should have seen your face when I told you I was making the rounds of the nightclubs with him.
Yeah. I guess I don't understand women.
I guess you don't, Jeff. You've been so busy telling yourself that all the girls who came in and out of this place were a dime a dozen.
Well, except you. I told you the minute I saw you to get out that you were better off as you were.
I'm the same girl again, Jeff, except for minor alterations. And I've had a lot more experience in home economics than I've had in this glamour business. I'm going to make you a wonderful wife, Jeff.
But this is all wrong. The man's supposed to propose.
All right, Jeff. Kiss me just once more, and then I'll say yes.
And the curtain falls on Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of A Dime a Dozen, starring Miss Gale Storm, who returns in just a moment. And our star, Miss Gale Storm. Well, Gale, thanks very much for a wonderful performance.
Thank you, Les. I thought it was an awfully cute story, and I enjoyed doing it.
Well, I think you enjoy almost everything you do, Gale. You know, at the beginning of the show, I referred back to your introduction to Hollywood.
Yes?
Well, I can't get over the fact that although you've added a great deal to your polish as an actress, you still look and act like the enthusiastic, rosy-cheeked high school girl who won that contest.
I'm not exactly a grandmother, you know.
Well, I didn't mean to indicate that you were. I just meant that, well, let's skip it. I hope that you'll continue to have lots of good luck and that your next visit to our radio theater will be very soon.
Thank you so much, Les. It's been swell. Goodbye.
Goodbye, and thanks again, Gale Storm.
Coming attractions include many other top Hollywood stars in radio plays written especially for them and designed for your pleasure. In our cast, you heard as our star, Miss Gale Storm as Tina Berger, Sarah Jane Wells as Helen Wainwright, Marion Richmond as Dagmar, Ned Lefever as Jeff, and Terry O'Sullivan as Gary. A Dime a Dozen was written by Bud Lesser, produced and directed and announced by yours truly, Les Mitchell. Our thanks to Miss Rita LeRoy and her splendid staff of her modeling agency for their invaluable help in supplying technical information which was used in this week's play.